You're listening to The Signal Daily. Hi, I'm Shaurbhari, your host for The Signal Daily podcast. And this is the episode for 9th April 2024. In today's episode, we talk about how second-hand luxury watches are increasingly becoming a viable asset class for investors. And for a second story, we talk about Wipro's woes. As Thierry Delaporte stepped down and Srinivas Pallia takes up the reins of the IT services company as its new CEO and MD, what awaits him? Stay tuned till the end of this episode. Some things always stay in style, like luxury watches. Now, I'm not a watch enthusiast, but it's hard to miss an Audemars Piguet or an Omega or, say, a Patek Philippe when someone flashes it on their wrists. And just like limited edition designer handbags, high-end watches are not mere fashionable accessories or collectibles for the uber-rich. A lot of investors consider watches as an alternative asset class to stocks and bonds. Now, a caveat to mention here is that not all luxury watch brands, or rather not all second-hand models of luxury watch brands, will fetch a good resale price. There could be high returns, but you know, investing in luxury watches comes with risks, including market fluctuations and counterfeit products. Still, in terms of investment value, the brands that I mentioned earlier, like Audemars Piguet and Patek Philippe, along with Rolex, form the holy trinity. And many will argue that Rolex is one notch above the rest. I mean, it's definitely one of the most sought-after luxury Swiss watch brands. It's old money, it's posh, it's got prestige. And a second-hand Rolex will cost you a ridiculous amount of money. So I just checked out Chrono 24, which allows trading of pre-owned watches. And get this, the majority of pre-owned Rolex watches will cost between $4,300 to $22,000. That's roughly between 3.5 lakh to 18 lakh rupees. In the pandemic period especially, the value of Rolexes in the secondary market shot through the roof before dipping by the end of 2022. A report from Boston Consulting Group, or BCG, says that between 2018 to 2023, average prices in the second-hand market for top models from the three largest luxury brands, Rolex, Patek Philippe and Audemars Piguet, rose at an annual rate of 20%, despite broader market downturns during the pandemic, outpacing the S&P 500 index, which gave average annual returns of 8% in that same period. And this fascination for watches as an investment might even last a while, so long there's high demand and limited production. As an ET report points out, limited production and a strict distribution model creates an quote-unquote artificial scarcity that, in turn, drives up demand for these watches. I mean, typically the models that will fetch the big bucks are limited editions, obviously. But there are some other contributing factors as well that are shaping up the appetite for luxury watches as investments. One is that platforms like Chrono 24, Watchfinder and Co, Watchbox and The RealReal have made it a bit easier to trade watches. They ensure certification, provide warranties and even offer guaranteed buyback schemes for certain models. Seeing their uptake, watchmakers like Audemars Piguet, Omega and Patek Philippe have also established omni-channel pre-owned watch stores. But the second and more interesting thing is that second-hand luxury watches seem to have caught the attention of younger buyers, meaning millennials and Gen Zs. As this younger demographic acquires more purchasing power, driven by brand consciousness and sustainability, they are preferring to stick to vintage or second-hand buys. Now, McKinsey estimates that pre-owned watch sales could hit the 30 billion mark by 2025. But how long will the good times last? We'll simply have to wait and watch. For our second segment, we are going to bring you deep dives on stories from the world of technology, business, policy, and anything that leaves you with food for thought. In July 2020, amid the ghoulish pandemic, Bengaluru-headquartered IT services firm Wipro appointed Thierry Delaporte, a complete outsider based out of Paris, as its new MD and CEO. At that time, Wipro was not in great shape. The Frenchman was tasked with reviving the company. By all indications, he could not. In April 2024, as he stepped down, Wipro continues floundering. So, what went wrong? Well, to be fair to Wipro and Delaporte, the macro environment is to blame to an extent. The global post-pandemic economy has been sluggish, expecting an economic downturn. Enterprises across the world have curtailed spending on discretionary projects, and Indian IT companies are in turn facing the music. But even after we take the macro picture into account, Wipro's woes stand out. An underperforming stock, talent exodus, and declining growth and profitability. Wipro has simply been lagging behind its peers in India's $250 billion IT industry. Let's take a closer look. So, soon after his appointment, Delaporte outlined his vision to turn things around for Wipro. He said he'd focus on winning mega deals for the company, he'd simplify the organizational structure, and he'd aim at acquisitions. And, well, you can't blame him for not putting his money where his mouth was. But the thing is, the results of his action were at best mixed. Take, for example, the mega deals. At the risk of oversimplifying things, I'd say that mega deals are basically the bread and butter of the IT industry. IT companies fiercely compete to back such contracts, which are sometimes worth as much as over $1 billion and are stretched out over several years. As Mint puts it, bagging a mega deal ensures assured revenue and respectable growth for at least half a decade. And Delaporte, in his very first year as Wipro's CEO, formed a quote-unquote, the large deals team, whose sole objective was to bring Wipro such mouth-watering contracts. But the team, as it turned out, had no luck. For example, last year, the likes of TCS, Infosys and HCL Tech won at least 7 mega deals, while Wipro had nothing to show for itself. Yes, 0 deals. Zilch. Under Delaporte's leadership, the last mega deal that Wipro bagged was in December 2020. It was a $700 million contract with German retailer Metro AG. And since that deal, it's been a pretty dry run. Presumably, owing to an ostensibly bad performance, the so-called large deals team was dismantled last December, and its leader, Wipro's chief growth officer Stephanie Trotman, called it quits. Now, the second thing is Delaporte's acquisition strategy, and that also didn't work out exactly. Under his leadership, Wipro spent nearly $1.5 billion to acquire tech consultancies Capco and Rising. In a filing to stock exchanges, Wipro said that London-based Capco in particular will help it add banking, insurance and financial services client. These pricey acquisitions may have made sense had the post-pandemic economy not depressed the consulting business. Parikh Jain, who's the founder of Parikh Consulting, told the Hindu Business Line, and I'm reading it out, quote, "Even though it's a bad market to judge the performance of changes made, there is uncertainty whether his changes will pay off even in the future, as the market is again constantly pivoting with the advent of generative AI," end quote. Meanwhile, as Wipro struggled to regain growth under Delaporte, it also grappled with another issue, an exodus of senior leadership. According to Money Control, over 10 senior leaders had resigned in 2023 alone, including its chief financial officer Jatin Dalal and chief operations officer Sanjeev Singh. If we take his entire tenure in consideration, Mint reports that over half of the 750 executives ranked general manager and above have either been let go of or they left the company. And this exodus of senior leadership could be partly attributed to Delaporte's decision to bring in external talent, which likely demotivated Wipro's longtime staffers and prompted them to jump ship. All in all, Wipro is not in great shape, and that's the company that the new CEO and MD, Srinivas Pallia, will be heading. Unlike Delaporte, Pallia, though, is an insider, a Wipro veteran who's worked in the company for over 3 decades. And by all measures, he has got his work cut out for him. His job will be to revive a company whose revenue and profitability have been on the down. In Q3, for example, at ₹2,694 crore, Wipro reported a 12% year-on-year profit decline. So will Pallia rise up to the task and actually be able to turn around Wipro? Now that remains to be seen. But at this moment, all we can say is that the odds are stacked up against him. If you like listening to The Signal Daily, please show some support. Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'd love to hear what you have to say about this podcast. So feel free to shoot an email at hello@thesignal.co. This episode was researched, written and produced by Anoop and me, Shorbury. Edited by Venkat Anand. Mastered and mixed by Yash Hirve. You can catch this podcast every morning on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Prime Music, Google Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are thesignal.co on Instagram, LinkedIn and Twitter.